We Talk Podcast presents...
Why, you little... I got you!
Stop! He's already dead!
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast on the We Talk Podcast Network and Stick Boy. I'm your host, Joshua Adam William Arvin, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson. If I sound a little dreary, a little tired, it's because Joel and myself have watched a combined around 15 to 20 hours of combat sports this week. Ladies and gentlemen, again, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
I'm tired.
Yeah, the energy drink's worn off, Josh. I don't know what I'm going to do.
There's not enough Monster and Red Bull in the world.
No. I think that's the biggest thing that we can hit on. Like, we've heard it. We've seen it on Twitter. We've seen it everywhere. We've heard it on the law. It's a bloated product right now.
It's a bloated weekend. I mean...
Yeah.
ROH happened on Friday, but we watched today alone. We watched the entire ROH show, the entire Super J Cup, and then the SummerSlam. Maybe not. And then yesterday we had NXT and UFC. And I would say I enjoyed my Saturday more than my Sunday.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of positives in the ROH, and there's a lot of there were from what I saw, there were at least two very positive moments in Super J Cup for me, anyways.
Three
for you.
The Ospreay, Bucks, and Kushida winning.
Yeah, I look at all three of those and, like, positive. Cole winning, great. I think Lethal's on his way to the Fed, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because what more does he have to accomplish? And NXT's calling.
And they had Kyle O'Reilly coming in.
Yeah. So I think I'm perfectly okay with that. But, Josh, the amount of time today, like, when you told me it was going to be 5 to 6 hours for SummerSlam, I thought you were joking. I thought it was four hours.
And then we found out we have 7 more pay-per-views coming.
Yeah, like, this product's overblown, and you're overexposing your talent. You know, I get that they're on separate brands now, and that's great, but you have sometimes less is more.
And the crazy thing is, Joel, is there's 2-hour block on Sunday on Wednesday nights that is overshadowing the 5 hours. The Sundays and the Mondays and the Tuesdays, especially the Monday and Tuesday. CWC is spoiled everybody that's a wrestling fan in WWE.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think that as wrestling fans, we're constantly getting treated, and this is just... You definitely saw some holes, but... You know, bloated or not, we got to talk about it right off the hop, because this is the hottest story out of this weekend, and it's not McGregor winning in a one of the best fights I think you and me have seen in a long time.
Oh my God!
It's
yes.
It's not Nock winning. It's not Bobby Roode. It's not AJ getting a win. It's not the Young Bucks and the Motor City Machine Guns putting on a clinic. It's not Adam Cole, baby, getting the ROH championship.
Not Kushida winning Super J.
No, it's Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton, and I hate to say it, but for some of the wrong reasons.
I think the biggest story, let me preference that, is the Connor McDavid fight.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about Brock first.
Yeah. For me, as more of a wrestling fan, this is a bigger deal.
Yeah, but globally, it's the Connor fight.
Yeah. Because it sets up, and there's also some judge stuff and Nate whining.
Yeah.
But that's that.
We'll get to it. The Brock scene is fresher. Yeah. That's the thing. The Brock scene is much fresher right now.
I think both of us, and I think we watched that whole ending sequence like 4 or 5 times, just analyzing it. And I definitely think it's all a work, but I think Brock showed that Brock, like, you know how Brett's been ripping on Seth for not being safe.
Yeah.
Brett should be ripping on Brock.
So the idea right now was that they wanted it to go hard way. Some talk coming out of that now.
Yeah.
But would a blade job not have been safer? And I know Don wrestling fans are hearing that and thinking that's even more archaic. But really, I think a blade job would have been maybe safer because Randy Orton also has a history of concussions.
I was just going to say.
And, I mean, you are just, we know everything about concussions so much now. And what's the difference between that and a chair shot to the head? Yes. I think that's worse, to be completely honest. Like, they're both terrible, but that's worse.
I think Brock lost control.
Mm-hmm. He was like a gorilla.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he was like a gorilla pounding at its prey.
Yeah. It was just a guy that wasn't.
That's, I've never, you and I, I've never seen us more terrified of anything as a wrestling fan, combat sport fan. I've never been terrified of something from a movie, even like that was graphic.
It was something like Morrow had said, it was like out of a horror movie. Like it was just a guy that had, like Orton was knocked out. Like I don't think there's any real debate on that. His body went limp, he was unresponsive, and the hits, he wasn't putting his hands up, he wasn't trying to guard his face, he was just, they were hitting, and I think he was knocked out, and I did hear a little bit, because I was listening to the law before we started this, that a fan had called in, and they kind of asked him how Orton left the arena, and they said Orton left on his own power, but looked
pissed off,
visibly upset.
Yeah.
So, to me, that tells you that I don't know if this went quite the way that it was supposed to go. And how can you go to your talent of a guy that is a part-timer that failed a performance-enhancing? Like, he won't be fighting in UFC. He screwed himself with UFC. How can you go to a talent and tell him, hey, by the way, you're going to do a job to Brock because he's unsafe in the ring and he takes steroids, but he makes a lot of money. So, like, I'm not calling to fire the guy. I'm not calling to release him from his contract. But I think they really need to look at things. And I don't think the next step is Brock versus Shane, like some people are pointing to. I think that I feel like a lot of this was stitched together at the last moment, like just the way the refs were going and the doctors and everything. I think the Shane thing was just there to have someone.
I think the Shane thing's planned because I like the idea that you're hearing now of him picking a surrogate.
Yeah.
And that being Samoa Joe or Goldberg.
Yeah. Like, I think that's probably ultimately where they go. Mm-hmm. I think you need to, but I think that.
But if you bring in Samoa Joe, because Goldberg we wouldn't see doing anything else, so you build up Goldberg itself. If you bring in Joe, do we have the trust in them that they can build Joe to not lose from now till April? And I don't have that trust, Joel.
No, I don't either, and I think there's going to be some back and forth on this. I expect everything to come a little bit more to a head at Survivor Series because that's the next co-brand.
Do you do Samoa Joe there then?
Yeah, I think, but Joe's going to be off for a little bit.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, so I'm kind of under the impression. I like to hedge my bets a little bit and say we're not going to see Joe right away on SmackDown, but I think you might see some vignettes, start building him up, and he can start tearing through people. My question to you is, Brock's contract's up next April, I believe.
No, it's 2 more years.
2 more years?
It's 2018.
Oh, now, whenever his contract is up, if it's 2018.
It's 100% 2018. Meltzer confirmed this a while ago.
Okay.
After the suspensions and everything, he confirmed he still has 2 more WrestleManias under his belt.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you keep Brock after that?
100%. He's the biggest draw you have for wrestling. He's a bigger draw than The Rock as far as wrestling goes.
Yeah, no, definitely. And he doesn't care. He's going to come in and do whatever you want.
Like, in combat sports, you saw what happened to the UFC. People drove in. I had never bought a UFC pay-per-view in my entire life. Actually, I've bought two. You know what those two were, Joel?
For Brock.
100 to 200. Because of Brock. Because he is, make no mistake, he's a terrible human being. He's a bully, and he enjoys it.
Yep.
But that's why we enjoy him, because of the anarchy and the chaos and the destruction.
Yep.
We've never seen anything like this. Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, GSP, they didn't enjoy beating people up. It was a profession, and they did it. This guy enjoys beating people up.
Like, if this was the caveman time, he'd have a wall of heads.
This is gladiator times. Yeah. Same thing, right? Like, he's just he's a lunatic with a straitjacket, and the straitjacket comes off, and he destroys.
Yeah. He is Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
You throw back to DC Comics. He is Doomsday. He is sent to do one thing and one thing only, and he's already killed Superman. He did it a couple SummerSlams ago.
Mm-hmm.
Really and truly, I still feel very uncomfortable with the lasting image of Orton and the blood and the limp.
Yeah.
It feels very uncomfortable, but
there I get is it. I understand what you get that aspect of it.
Yeah. I think from what I heard, that the crowd in Brooklyn was very confused, very dumbfounded. I think we were all trying to scramble to make.
Well, if you were there, Joel, cause, you know, you and I had talked about going to a show for a while now, maybe Survivor Series. If we went to Survivor Series and then had a match like that, would you not feel like you got a little ripped off in your money?
Yeah.
So for the last 40 minutes was a no contest.
Yeah.
And then a weird TKO.
Yeah. And then, like, Orton did three moves. We didn't even get the RKO into a F5 into RKO.
He's got two AKOs and the buckle DDT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't know. Like, it still feels very surreal what we saw. Like, I did not expect that to go the way it did. I thought it was going to go more along the lines of a Cena, like a hybrid of Cena versus Brock 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were going to get a little bit of brawling.
Mixed with a little bit of what the Roman match was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably, and we didn't. We
no.
got something different. And in the counterpoint, this does make Brock look like a monster.
Like, yeah.
Monster that when you, that his eyes are soulless.
Mm-hmm.
I think we even saw it in some of his interviews in his media circuit.
With the guys from What Culture and with Sam Roberts.
This is a guy that doesn't care.
No. He's a bully. He's not a nice person. And I'm not even saying that as a character. Overall, this is not a nice person.
This is a guy that cares about one thing and one thing only. Brock Lesnar.
He cares about five people in his life.
Yeah.
He cares about himself. His wife, I think he has three kids, and Heyman. And I don't even know how much he cares about Heyman.
Yeah. Like, Heyman's reaction during all this was very interesting to watch.
I don't know if that was Paul Heyman being a great worker, or if it was Paul Heyman shooting.
Yeah.
And, like, actual reaction. I don't know. Because this was the plans, apparently. This was the planned endings. We have that now confirmed. You and I were a little worried about all this. But this was the ending, so this is what we got. And now we wait, see what Meltzer's and the rest say, but it was a pretty horrifying ending.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of people talking.
Yeah, it sure does.
The other thing that from this show that a lot of people are talking about, and I have a tweet that I want to read out,
sure.
is the crowd.
Yeah.
Specifically during Rollins and Balor's match.
Didn't like the belt.
Yeah, Rollins sent out a tweet saying, more important than a title's appearance is what it represents for the men fighting over it.
Mm-hmm.
You really let me down tonight, Brooklyn. That is from Seth Rollins' Twitter.
Good, because you and I had talked about there was two times the crowd, we've really hated those crowds, because those crowds can be fun, you know, with the Yes Movement or the Fandangoing. Super fun. But then there's times when this crowd gets really ugly and it's not fun. And this was one of those examples, because this is the dream match. This is Prince Devitt versus Tyler Black for some.
Yep.
No, this is Finn Balor, Seth Rollins. This is a dream match. And I was sucked out of it. And it reminded me there was a crowd chant, I think it was two WrestleManias ago, and they kind of gave sexual innuendo chants to Brie, to Nikki, and to AJ Lee about who their partners were and their husbands. And you and I were pretty disgusted by that. And not that this is on the same level as that. That's worse. This is another example to me how the crowd is trying to put themselves over. And I didn't like the beach ball either. And I hate the We Are Awesome chant.
Yeah.
And this is one of those crowds takes you out of it. And like I said, I believe they're in the Barclays Center till 2018. And I don't know if this was a Knicks of New York crowd and the Brits and that just that overall crowd. But you and I said, like, I would highly consider moving the next show because of what this crowd was. And listen, obviously, a lot of them were weirded out. They were at Barclays. I'd say the majority of them were at Barclays last night to watch NXT, which is a lot to cheer for. And then maybe they went to a bar and watched UFC after. And then they had to sit through 6 hours of this. So I understand you get worn down. But there's also times that you did chants that really were ugly and against what the show needed.
Yeah. Like, do I like the look of the Universal title? No, I'm not a big fan of it. In an ideal world, we'd have the big shiny gold belt or something new and original. But mm-hmm. here's the thing. At the end of the day, you had, just like you said, you had Prince Devitt versus Tyler Black. Two guys that are internet darlings that the hardcore fans like you and me like and appreciate and value their mm-hmm. hard work, their determination to their craft, that want to go out there and steal the show and put on great matches night in and night out and prove that they're the best in the world, and all you can focus on is how the title works. That doesn't mm-hmm. send a message to Vince. If anything, that means you're just telling Vince that Seth Rollins and Finn Balor don't matter.
Yeah.
They are not important. What matters yeah. is you're chanting about the title.
Yeah.
And you know what? You want to no-sell that title? Give it no reaction at all.
Mm-hmm.
But for love of God, focus on the in-ring.
I think if you would have done a chant at the beginning, like, we don't like it, and then leave it, you get your point across. But then you sabotage the match. And it was a great match, but I'll never know, because it really took me out of it.
Yep.
To, honestly and truly, I know the two were working well. But I wasn't sucked into it like I was with Sasha and Charlotte, or even watching Adam Page and Briscoe from the ROH show, or definitely AJ and Cena. I was sucked out because the crowd decided to be assholes and take over the show.
Yeah. And I'm like, there's a time and a place for chance. And like I said, I don't like when crowds try to put themselves over. You're not what you need. The crowd, the biggest thing that you have as a crowd, you have absolute power. You decide how the show goes. You decide who you cheer for, who you boo, and whose merch you're going to buy. You're in control. And you have absolute power because you set a tone. Like, you look at when the crowd's fine and Nakamura comes out for his first ever match in WWE. And they're chanting, holy shit, and this is awesome, and singing his theme song, and singing the glorious theme song, that's fun. That's mm-hmm. fun wrestling atmosphere. But what they did tonight during Black and Devitt's match just showed. And, like, it's hard to get back into the whole swing of things.
It is. It really is, man. It took me. Did it take you out of it, Joel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I think that kind of, that last little bit, that last block there, I kind of compared it to Suicide Squad, where there's a lot of good stuff at the beginning of it, and then, like, that third act kills it. The third act of the show killed it, and the one part shouldn't have. Like, Finn and Seth was great, but the crowd took me out of it, and then we went to this weird Roman Reigns and Rusev thing, where I think it was a Roman heel turn? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
And then you had the Brock and Randy match, which we got up for a little bit because it was a good match while it lasted. Like, we were entertained by it, and we were thinking we were going to get the F because it started heating up. Because when the pump was coming, like, we were all kind of getting into it, right?
Yep.
Like, oh, this is getting good, and we're starting to get into the heat of things. And when he just started punching him and stopping it, it's like, there's a reason you're not UFC, and you don't have to compete with UFC. You're wrestling. This is why we love you, because we like the ground and pound and all that with the UFC, but there's a way to do the UFC correctly, and I can't believe I'm saying this. TNA did it right with Joe and Angle, and this was, they were trying to be original, but it didn't work, and it's two SummerSlams in a row now with weird finishes
yeah.
that people are left scratching their heads with. The last one was Brock and Taker last year, where everyone was like, oh, okay, just weird finishes, and you're like, okay, you're going to go out like that? And I mean, wrestling fans forget pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm a fan, like, from England, for example, we know a lot of Brits go out there, I'm double thinking about going to a WWE show in SummerSlam next year or wherever, because it's like, well, like, why would I trust you? Because you put ups and downs, and by no means, there's a lot of good things that happen, but that last hour was unacceptable. I would ask for my money back, to be completely honest. Despite even AJ winning, it maybe be my match of the year. That last hour is unacceptable.
It definitely did not leave a positive taste in my mouth. Like, I think we'll hit on a little bit of Cena and AJ, which was a great match, well worked.
Mm-hmm.
First time we've ever seen anyone kick out of, I believe, the Avalanche AA. Don't quote me on it.
We think so, yeah.
Yet. I mean, both these guys gave it their all, and I think we saw the metaphorical end of Cena's full-time run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're ever going to see Cena's full-time run. And you got to tip his hat. Like, you and me had kind of talked about a little bit of this. Shawn Michaels is, to you and me, most days is the greatest in-ring worker ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think Cena's the greatest top guy of all time.
I have to run the numbers, though, because is he bigger than Hogan at his peak?
I mean, the one thing that I look at for Cena, and this is a very flimsy, like, my argument's not built concrete research.
The three is, there's four. Flair, Hogan, Austin, Cena.
Well, I'm more talking about guys that have carried WWE.
Okay. So but Flair carried the NWA.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Sting as well for WCW.
Yeah, I think.
But if you're going WWE, I still think it's Hogan, man. Just because I still think you go to a casual fan, I still think there's more people that know who Hulk Hogan is than John Cena. I still think Cena's name is pretty much a household name now, but Hogan is, people know Hogan.
Yeah, it's one of those big debates, but I mean, this is a guy that led from basically to that WrestleMania 21 to this year.
Mm-hmm.
He has carried the company on his back. He carried the company through the Benoit crisis. He carried the company through the highs and the lows, the rating sucking, and he's done it. And he's done the Make-A-Wish. He's done everything that's been asked upon him. And, you know, I think in 10 years, we'll look more positively back on Cena's career, because I don't think he'll be wrestling 10 years from now. You never know, though. He's a weird, weird guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at Cena and look at the guy that we spent a lot of time talking about, Brock Lesnar. I'd much rather sit down and talk with Cena for 20 minutes than Brock. I'd much rather meet Cena. I feel a lot safer talking to John.
Oh, I mean, you and I watched the What Culture interview that Adam Blampard?
Yeah.
Blampard? Whatever. Respect to his name, but whatever. He's probably never going to hear us talk. Yeah, and some of the questions he was asking Brock, I was, like, terrified. I, like, just as a reporter, I'm like, you have balls, man. Because, like, asking him if he enjoys being a wrestler and if it's for the money, and it's like, what are you doing?
You definitely want to get that feeling. Just a quick little note, it's been reported that Randy Orton needs 10 staples in his head.
Yeah, no shit.
So you sit there and you go, like, but at the same time, you sit there and you look at something like AJ. And I want to focus on some of the positives, because there are some positives.
That was a great match. You know, taking time back now, is a match of the year. I think in the moment, for sure, I thought it was a hell of a match. Got to come back to earth now. You always have those positive vibes right at the beginning, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely in contention, no question. It's in that Kota Cedric Alexander, the Sasha and Charlotte from Raw. There's been a lot of good matches this year, especially from the CWC, which again has spoiled us.
Oh yeah.
But that one, that told everything you needed to have. You wanted AJ and John Cena. It was a dream match, and you were given what you wanted from AJ and John Cena.
Yeah, and AJ went over. And here we go. Yeah. This story was very simple. Can AJ beat Cena on his own?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? AJ Styles did it. And they didn't have any crazy bumps in this either.
No.
Like, nothing like that involved outside the ring or tables or chair shots or anything. Just two guys wrestling. And
yeah.
Tip my hat to them and everything about it. Like, you did a bang-up job, and it's definitely in contention. another match that I think is a very interesting match, especially with when you start doing the math and really start to wonder about things, is Sasha and Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because Sasha dropped the title. Neither of us expected it.
No.
But from all indications, it's one of two things. And there's only two options right now. There's a third, but it's
legal. There's kind of a third.
Yes. First one is a suspension, but I highly doubt it now. More
so. Yeah.
But from what we've heard, Sasha dropped the title because she has nagging injuries, and it's time to heal up, and it coincides with her getting married.
So she gets her honeymoon as well.
Honeymoon, surgery, clean up, get better, and then come back stronger than ever.
Yeah.
It's been a very rough year for her. She's had a lot of stops and goes.
It's a lot of up and downs, man.
Yeah. And Charlotte's just been the queen of consistency.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think that, I mean, with Paige getting suspended, we don't know when Emma's coming back. Nikki's on SmackDown now. We don't even need to talk about that match. The crowd apparently was very confused because Nikki came off as a babyface, but they didn't know what to do. The crowd wanted to cheer Nikki, but they didn't know what to do. But with Raw, again, Emma's hurt. Nikki's on SmackDown. All signs point to Bayley because I don't know who challenges Charlotte. Like, who challenges her? It's not time for Dana yet. Do you... It's like Alicia Fox and Summer Rae, right? Yeah. Or do you go with Nia? And you turn Charlotte face?
No.
Or is Nia the baby face?
I don't know. I obviously saw
it. Is it too soon for Nia Jax, maybe?
No, I think it's going to be Bayley.
Okay, so what do you do with Nia then? Is she going to build up to face Bayley first and then lose to Bayley? Like, I think the Nia Jax would have always been better on SmackDown, to be honest.
Well, here's the other thing that I think they should do, and I think that is absolutely a must, is it should be Dana Brooks versus Charlotte. Because
I don't think it's time yet, though, man. I don't think it's time yet.
You planted those seeds, and you're kind of under the gun right now. You don't have as many options as you once did.
Yeah, but it seemed like Bayley was gone.
Yeah. So it is going to be very interesting where they go, because they do have a lot of options. But which one's the best option to go with? I don't know. I really don't know if... you've got a lot of available people that could be done for stuff that can be used, but at the same time,
that women's roster is really weak on Raw right now. We've been hearing about trades. I think with what happened with Shane tonight, I don't think Randy's going anywhere, because it looked like he really cares about Randy for that coming out, right?
Yeah.
So why would he trade Randy Orton, even for a Sammy? I think we may see some women trade sides. And maybe it even is a Becky or a Nikki going away.
Yeah. Well, Cena's not going to be on SmackDown, so.
Yeah. So I guess it doesn't really. But I mean, the thing with SmackDown for Nikki is her brother-in-law's there too, right?
Yeah, that's the interest. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I'm tired. That's my
excuse,
and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah. So, anything else from SummerSlam? Again, like, I'd love to go an extension of this stuff, but, like, it's so much other stuff to cover still.
Yeah. Dolph and Dane was a little, it was
okay. I'm going to say this, Joel. You can call me on it. I think the Dane, as a world champion, is a failure.
I don't think so.
Because he's not over. He got no reaction. People don't care about him as champion. I think he pulls off being the champion fine. The crowd just didn't care about him, and they consistently haven't.
Now, let me ask you this. Does he get a reaction on SmackDown?
Kinda.
I think you're being a little harsher. I think he gets decent reaction. The biggest thing, I think, with Dean right now is the placement of the card on SummerSlam and the time. Mm. And a lot of these people were there Saturday for NXT.
And you know what? I thought someone – I was listening to a call, and it really – brought a lot of light. The fans at NXT, they said it was a lot happier environment, and they knew who to cheer for. And I'm like, that's a little inconsistent, because you should have cheered for Almost over Bobby, But fine, I get it. Glorious is the best theme song right now, period. So I get the Glorious bomb. But here they said they were very confused who to cheer for, because a lot of the crowd wanted to cheer for Dolph, and then a lot of the crowd's like, well, you should be cheering for Dean. There's a lot of confusion, and you can sense that in that match. No one really knew what to do or who to go for in that match.
Yeah, no, you always totally agree on that. And I think that, I mean, here's the thing. At the end of the day, I think you're supposed to cheer for Dean a bit more, but he had a little bit of tendencies, but that's how it kind of works.
So, is it time to turn Dean?
Yeah, I think it's like
he. Does he lose to AJ then turn?
Yeah, because AJ's going to win the strap.
AJ's red hot.
Oh, yeah.
You just beat John Cena. You need to get it going. Do you have AJ win at Backlash, or do you wait till No Mercy?
No. You want to know when he wins?
Survivor Series? Tuesday. Holy shit.
He's got all the momentum in the world. Why not?
Well, my only thing I would say why not is because you have a pay-per-view in 20 days.
Well, then you build the rematch for Dean Ambrose, and Dean's chasing the title.
I suppose so.
And I mean, then you've got Dean chasing, you've got AJ having that champion, and SmackDown's been hurting in the ratings right now. What more to pop your ratings than one of the biggest internet darlings? And I love them. I will be there front row Tuesday. Well, not actually front row Tuesday, but figuratively front row Tuesday to see him win the title and have the guy that is a two-time IWGP heavyweight champion, however many times he won the TNA title, finally win the big one in the WWE and just solidify that. It doesn't matter what label they put on you when you walk into those doors at WWE. When you come in and you're one of the best wrestlers in the world and you connect with the crowd, there is no limit. There is no... Like, you hear two people's gimmicks right now on the main roster about being held down and being undervalued and not being recognized. AJ Styles came in as being considered a big star.
Yep.
And when he wins the title, because he's going to win it. I don't care what anyone says. He's winning.
There's no one else can win it. I like your idea. I don't think it's going to happen on Tuesday.
No.
But I like the idea. If I was booking it, I don't totally disagree. My only disagreement is that you do have that. You're building the first one of these solo pay-per-views, and if you were going to build it up, you maybe announce it this Tuesday and then do it the Tuesday after.
Yeah.
That would make more sense to me, because at least then you're like, they're going for the title on this day. And then you at least let people know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Then that would be the best way to do it, unless you announce it on Raw for SmackDown, but why would you do that? That's kind of counterproductive.
Yeah. I definitely agree. It's going to be very interesting, but I think right now AJ Styles is a shining star in the land of pro wrestling that has been kind of rough at times, especially main roster wise. I think that things are getting burnt out. I think things that have worked that haven't worked. Simple little things of like your lead announcer for Raw pouting and being upset that he doesn't have the call for the main event, and you see it visibly on camera that he's not happy. That just is another little bit of negative mojo that you're putting out in the world.
Yeah.
And like the New Day say, you need that POP, that power of positivity.
Holding me down.
Yeah. It's
that match was a cluster, by the way.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Good Brothers.
Jon Stewart, awesome political comedian who we need right now desperately, and I have suggested on the most recent pod on Fresh Take with Haley Germain that he should have came out 20 minutes and just done some topical stuff on politics. Joel, people say like no, that probably would have got as over as well as this segment did. But going really back quickly to Dean and Dolph, they did their best with Dolph, but I think the people are looking at a lot of inconsistencies of especially placement of some of these, and I think nothing for placement is screamed out more than you have this brand new belt, the Universal Championship, the first ever, and you're giving names like Buddy Rogers, the first WWE champion, and Pat Patterson, the first Intercontinental champion. Good. Great setup. Then you have this title. Sure. It looks like someone spilled ketchup on a WWE title. And we would have loved the Winged Eagle belt or the big gold belt. But it's not there. You still, it's, you're adding prestige to this championship, right? And you put your secondary title after it?
Yeah, that was the other thing.
And then, okay, sure. You know, it was late in the show. A lot of us didn't want to see a Roman and Rusev match, especially since we had seen it on Monday. But I just didn't get that segment. Rusev is the heel. He is the bad guy. It's the most basic story. It's America versus the world. You know, as Canadians, we're the world. We're not going to buy into the rah-rah stuff. But that's the basic storyline. It's worked year after year. Cena has done it correctly at times. Hacksaw's done it correctly. Hogan's the best at it. Even Jack Swagger, very good at doing it with Rusev. But in this, on Monday night, Rusev protected his wife's honor. Roman ruined their wedding party. They had a wedding party, and he got cake on the bride. And then Rusev was trying to defend his wife's honor, and Roman beat him up for it, for defending his wife. And tonight, Rusev was going to defend his championship, even though he didn't want to. And who comes down? This big bully, Roman Reigns. Why am I supposed to cheer for Roman Reigns? Because he's an American?
It just seemed like, and like they announced that the ref stoppage and that the match was in no contest and that Rusev was hurt and couldn't compete and Roman goes out and spears him again.
Mm-hmm.
How is that a good guy?
Yeah, I just don't understand it.
Well, Josh, I have the answer for you. I figured it out. Roman's not a good guy. Roman's not a bad guy.
Oh, God damn it, shut up.
That line just, they haven't used that line in a while.
No.
I just don't know. It's hard to justify Roman being a babyface. Because even, Roman will never be The Rock or Austin or any of those guys that could go out and do whatever they want and the crowd's going to cheer them. Roman got a mix of no reaction to some reaction, mostly boos. What does that tell you? And they were kind of put in the valley of death because you have the peak of Seth versus Finn, which had a crowd reaction. Positive or negative, it had a crowd reaction.
They brought him back. They brought him back, yeah.
And then you crash down into this thing. And usually when you have a beatdown angle like that or a brawl, the crowd pops. No pop. Nothing. It was flat. Roman Reigns got a flat reaction. And that's all I really got.
I think Finn Balor made a really good point this week. He's like, Roman Reigns can wrestle. And you and I have been saying this for the longest time. I have no problem with him in the ring. Zero. I feel bad for the guy with how they use him. Because they don't use him in a correct way.
No.
If this was the heel turn, and fine. This is what he's supposed to be. You can make him like a hitman assassin, and he just can't be stopped. You know, you can make him the Simone Brock Lesnar in a way. He's unstoppable.
Yeah.
And he's this evil guy. That's fine. But then did you just turn Rusev in the process? Because I don't think you did. And Rusev's going to come out tomorrow, and he's going to complain about these attacks, and he's going to look like the heel.
Yeah.
Because he's not American. And that's honestly what it's going to be. So for the rest of us in the world, Joel, how are we supposed to feel about that? This American guy is attacking Rusev. But we're not American. We're from Canada or Australia or England or Paris or Germany or wherever. We don't really care that Roman Reigns is American. So why are we supposed to cheer for him?
Yeah.
You know, it's such naive thinking in 2016. I know you're in a majority of American arenas. But the crowd that's there tonight and the crowd that will be there for Raw tomorrow, a lot of them aren't from America. So what are you going to do? And even when he's in America, fans still aren't cheering him because even for Americans, that's not a good enough reason to cheer him.
Yeah. Roman, the you look at it, look booking for NXT, how simplistic it is, how this will go here and this will go here, done and simple. And then you look at booking for WWE, it's so overcomplicated. Like, what we do is we get together and we'll watch these pay-per-views and we'll have like little competition to see who wins the big title at the end of the night, who has the most predictions right. And more times than not, you and me lose to Paul, who hangs out with us.
And it's most casual of fans. Yeah. Watches the big four pay-per-views.
And the biggest thing, the reason he wins is because we overthink things. Mm-hmm. I think we're like WWE. We overthink things. They overthink things. They try to make things too complex. And wrestling can be the simplest thing. Guy A doesn't like
being... Look at NXT, man. Like, look, was Joe and Nakamura what we wanted it to be?
No.
No. But now looking at it, it looks like a masterpiece.
comparatively to everything that happened this weekend, yep.
Yeah, like NXT, to me, was probably the most fun I had this week. Was it the best overall show, Joel? Maybe not. Maybe it's Super J. Maybe. Mm. Maybe it's ROH. I don't know. But those are three great shows. NXT TakeOver was the most fun I had.
Oh, yeah.
And really, that's all that matters as a wrestling fan. The most overall fun and the best of time I had was watching the main event of UFC 202.
Yeah.
That was the most enjoyable moment of the week for me, was that match.
Oh, yeah.
That was almost maybe the highlight for me. I would say Cena AJ is number one for me, but number two is probably Connor and Nate Diaz to me. Because that was just you and I just breaking down every single thing, and you were at the edge of your seat with everything, and I think that's what made Cena and AJ so good, and that's when wrestling's so good. We stood up, Joel. We were rooting for AJ like we were rooting for our hometown Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
Like, we were into that match, and we were rooting, and we were on the edge of our seats, and that's how Finn and Seth should have been, and that's what Brock and Randy should have been. But no. Even if we did that again for Ciampa and Gargano against the Revival. You know, we had that with Bayley and Asuka, and we like Asuka, but we wanted to root for Bayley because they made us root for Bayley. I never felt that in Dean and Dolph. They're just like, yeah, decide, whatever. And I don't know if that's a Bucky situation, if that's a Vince McMahon situation, but it's a hybrid of in between, because whatever Hunter and his producer are doing is working with NXT and the CWC,
mm-hmm.
and it's working in Ring of Honor, and it's working in Japan, and right now it's not 100% of the time, barely even 50, is connecting on the main roster. And our friend Dustin just sent me a text and kind of said the same thing. He's like, I feel bad for guys that are coming up, because if you're a Sami Zayn or you're a Kalisto and you see NXT, you're like, I think I'd rather be down there right now. Even Kevin Owens, look, he's in that tag match, but if you're Kevin Owens, I think you would have had more fun down in NXT. You know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do not disagree with you at all.
Getting called up is almost a disadvantage now.
But haven't we been saying that for a while?
I think it's been escalated this week because all you want, wrestling is just supposed to be fun. You know, it's, yeah. I hate complaining about wrestling because it seems so stupid and juvenile and silly, especially with, you know, all the problems in the world. And we have this crazy election in America right now and all these other stuff, and wrestling is supposed to be an escape. You know, it's supposed to be like when you watch an episode of Game of Thrones, you're supposed to escape into that world. And you do that with Game of Thrones. You go into that world, or watch Rick and Morty. You go into that world and you escape, you laugh, you cry, and you come out and like, oh, awesome. I can't wait to the next one of that. And that's what wrestling is supposed to do. You're supposed to go into this world and watch these amazing athletes with mixed storylines and have these calculated fights and walk away like, oh, that was cool, and that was cool, and that was cool. Oh, they could have done a little bit better. But tonight, it just seemed draining, not fun, and exhausting.
Yeah, especially with how everything ended.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because you see stuff like how it ended, and you're like, I always go back. I love like watching Brett Brett versus whoever and Sean versus whoever, and it tells a story and it's fun. Brian, or even like the story of Adam Cole versus Jay Lethal this week. Mm-hmm. They all have stories to them, and they all have.
I thought even Bobby Fish and Briscoe told a great story. He's saying you're not better than your brother, and even though he lost to him, he proved he's in the league with Bobby Fish.
Yeah,
it was, and I had never seen Bobby Fish wrestle before. We're trying to expand our independent roots here, and Joel, it made me want to watch more Ring of Honor after watching this today, because I'm like, oh, you're telling the basic story of Bobby Roode, and even Adam Page and Jay Briscoe was kind of a match that just kind of happened out of the blue, but I got what both sides wanted and both sides needed in the match. Storytelling was great, and it was a great match, and it's a match I'm going to walk away with. And it, when we come to our year in review, I'll probably talk to you about that Adam Page and Jay Briscoe match. Will I remember any of these other matches on here? Probably not. I doubt you even really talk about Brock and Randy.
Yeah.
I'll talk about AJ and Cena, and maybe a little bit about Charlotte and Sasha, as in that the Raw match is better and this match was good, but the Raw match is nominated for Match of the Year. But that Adam Page match, it made me care about Adam Page being a heel and made me want Briscoe to win.
Yeah.
And same with that Bobby Fish match, and same with all the matches on that card. And in the Super J Cup, I cared about Kushida winning.
Yeah.
As soon as Will Ospreay won, I'm like, oh, I wanted Ospreay to win, but they did such a good job of Kushida going in. His neck got damaged. You wanted this guy to win. There was interference. He had the struggle. You thought the run-in came and that he was going to lose, and then Kushida overcame it and won the Super J Cup, and it was a great story. And there was no English commentary to tell us that, but you could still get it through.
Yeah. You told a simple story. Everything was it was simple. This is this person A, this person B. This is it.
Mm-hmm. So. And we didn't want to come on the show and be negative, you know, because it was a really fun week. You know, UFC again, really fun. Shout out to Rumble Johnson in that 13-second knockout. And I think maybe we'll get more into that on the Wednesday show, Joel. Yeah. But for now, it's an eye-opening experience with the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first time I've just been, you know, there's been times when fans have been really upset with them. You know, the Royal Rumbles, the Roman one and the Batista one come to mind.
Yep.
This is the first time I've been really disappointed as a wrestling fan of what I was served up tonight. And, you know, the less is more thing, right? 2 hours, the NXT's pay-per-view was. Mm-hmm. 2 hours, and you told everything there. And CWC, to me, is the best bang for your buck for wrestling on television right now. Mm-hmm. I had no idea who Jack Gallagher was 3 weeks ago. He lost this week, and that's all I've been talking to friends about. Yeah. I've gone out of my way to show friends who Jack Gallagher is, because I know he's going to be entertaining, and they're going to laugh and chuckle and have a good time.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go out of my way to show them much from SummerSlam, except for maybe the AJ match, the Cena match. Yeah. But even then, I don't know, man.
It's kind of hard to show them the Cena AJ, because you got to give them kind of a backstory.
Yeah, I think that's like reading all the Harry Potter books. Right, and then knowing the backstory and waiting for the big payoff at the end for him to get, at the very end and get the victory, and that's what this was. You had to see everything from TNA with AJ, you had to see everything with WWE for Cena, and TNA won.
Man,
that's the crazy thing. If you're looking at TNA versus WWE,
I kind of look at it as more New Japan.
I do too, but I'm just that's what it's always going to be. It's Mr. TNA versus Mr. WWE. And Cena never beat him once yet. He pinned him in that tag match, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, Joel. We try to be positive around here. And look, there was a lot of positive stuff this week. NXT was great. Dishonored was great. Looks like Jay Lethal's out. Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole is going to be awesome. The Bucks and Machine Guns, amazing match of the year contender. Love seeing Kushida win. NXT, super fun show. The Glorious Bomb, Joel.
Yeah.
Just one of the best moments ever, the violinist with Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke winning, that was a great moment. The Japan guys had a great night tonight, except
GTS,
for the Good Brothers.
You didn't even hit on that, GTS.
Yeah, Nadeo won a GTS, and I ran around like a madman.
Oh, yeah.
But it just comes down, and you can tell it in our voices, Joel. I mean, I know I talk a lot, but I think you're even at a loss for words for this whole week. for this last 6 hours.
It's burning. Like, it's burnt me out. And we got to do it all over again Monday, 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we're going to get Monday. I don't know what we're going to get Tuesday. I hope Orton is in the hospital, seeing a doctor, and getting checked out, because he needs it.
You and I wanted to watch those two G1 matches that we hadn't seen.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're great. But Joel, I don't know if I'll be watching wrestling until Wednesday. I think I need a break.
Yeah, and it's going to reflect in the ratings.
I just don't think I can watch wrestling tomorrow. I just think I need a break from it. You know what? I was completely fine after Ring of Honor in Japan. I was excited. I was like, sweet, more of this? And it started off good. I had no problem with that tag match. And Cesaro and Sheamus was fun. And even Miz and Apollo was quick and fast. Who gives a shit? And I thought Sasha and Charlotte was good. And I thought the Jericho and KO match against Enzo and Cass was fun. And then Cena was fun. And then when that D match happened, then it's like, okay, things are starting to stretch out a little bit. And then I think things really turned for me when the crowd, and the, you know, that women match was a little sloppy. But it was when the crowd turned to the Finn match.
Yeah.
That thing just like, this is terrible. Like, what's going on? And I think it's because it was too long, right? We started watching wrestling at 3 o'clock. By the time the Finn match came on, we had been watching for 4 hours, WWE-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Knowing that Roman Reigns is still going to come.
We forgot about Roman.
Yeah.
Like, we forgot that there was Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you're like, oh, crap. And I remember, like, sitting there like, well, they're going to have that before Finn. There's no way. No. And then sure enough, it wasn't even a match.
Joel's young because he's so tired of this.
Yeah. Like, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, You gotta be kidding me, because I think that bugged me, because as much as what Cena did for that US title, it's not ahead of your newly debuted Universal title.
No.
So don't tell me that just because you need to put Roman in a certain spot. Like, to me, Roman was still a bad spot for Roman to be in, but I don't know. I think the shuffle, like, there's a lot of things WWE really needs to look at hard, but I don't know if they will.
Okay, go ahead, sorry. I'll go next, yeah.
Here's the thing that we've got. At the end of the day, things are going to be rough on the main roster. I don't think they're going to listen. But we have CWC, we have NXT, we have ROH, we have New Japan. There are at least 4 products out there, and there's more. Mm-hmm. That we can sink our teeth into and enjoy.
What culture?
What culture? Pro wrestling.
There's a Rev Pro.
Yep. There's a lot of things we can sink our teeth into and enjoy and watch. And honestly, at the end of, oh my crap.
So it was a long one, man.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we still got some decent content out there. And I mean, the one thing that we always have to look at is there's a very real possibility that AJ Styles will hold a title that Bret Hart had held, Shawn Michaels had held, Hunter had held with a death grip, Chris Jericho, I could go on and on.
Macho Man, Ric Flair,
Hulk Hogan. AJ Styles will hold that title. I really believe he's going to win it.
Yeah, I just can't see why not.
Yeah, and Josh, he could be walking into WrestleMania with that.
He very well could. So with Randy, let's get to the we're about 50 minutes in here, so we're gonna wrap up a little bit here. And I'm sorry for being so negative tonight, folks. It's just is what it is. We'll be much more positive by Thursday, I think. Randy, it's the Wyatts next, but here's the thing, like, Bray never wins, and Randy has to win, so I don't like that match, but I don't know who Randy faces other than the Wyatts.
Yeah, but I think Orton's going to be out for a little bit. I really think he's
Which really win. Sucks for SmackDown, man. You're about to lose Randy Orton and AJ and John Cena.
Yeah.
And I love Samoa Joe. I love him. And I'm excited for him. But is Samoa Joe and AJ Styles good enough for ratings?
I don't know. I really
don't. Is Nikki the biggest draw for name? Pop culturally?
I think Styles has really got up there.
He is, but I'm just saying I think more people for pop culture wise know who Nikki is.
That's an interesting one. I'm not really sure
who I think obviously more wrestling fans know who AJ is. There's not a question. But with all the success of Total Divas, that fan base that is just Total Diva fans that might be turning because they know Nikki's back.
You know who could be good, who's going to draw still? Brian. Mm.
Yeah.
Brian's still there, not wrestling.
But he's not wrestling, yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah. That would be a huge thing. But, I mean, I think the biggest thing for SmackDown, and the Law said it, I think the hook for them is Shane McMahon's going to have a reaction to Brock.
They can't touch, though, until Survivor Series. So you have to tease it. Is this the match at WrestleMania now? Is it Randy and Brock one more time?
It might be.
Are you cool with that, or do you want Joe or Goldberg?
I want Joe Goldberg, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. It's a bigger match. I want Samoa Joe, by the way. I don't want Goldberg. Yeah. If I get Goldberg, I'm fine with it. But I thought the time to do Goldberg would have been tonight, because you bought Goldberg at that point and speared Brock. He takes down the bully, and then you start a chase. And that moment would have been overshining of everything. I know Goldberg just had knee surgery, but if you could get him to do double knee surgery. So I don't know if he could do the spear. I'm just fantasy booking. If he could have speared him right there, obviously he couldn't not jackhammer him with the knees, but if he could have at least got a spear off, the crowd would have gone crazy, and the crowd would have gone home happy.
Yeah.
And the same crowd is going to be at Raw tomorrow, right? Is Raw not in Brooklyn tomorrow again?
I believe so. I believe that they do, like, the whole thing.
So you're going to have some angry fans tomorrow.
Oh,
angry and worn down fans.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm behind too much. I'm done. I'm throwing up the flag, Josh.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's the week that was. It was quickly, Joel. And then a positive, because we had talked about this. What are your top five overall moments from the week?
I think let's throw something a little different out there. Dalton Castle and the boys.
Great. The boys are great.
Yeah. Motor City Machine Guns versus Young Bucks Super J Cup.
This is number four. Are you just going in order, or
no? I'm just kind of throwing things out.
So that's two. That's two.
Ospreay versus Matt Sydal.
That's three.
Fun. Connor versus Nate, emotional roller coaster. It's only good if you don't know the results and you're just going in fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know the results, it takes a little of its fun out. But to me, the highlight, the bright spot, the moment that I can always look back and be happy is that Brie Bella. I was going to say Brie Bella didn't come back, but I think...
Oh, shut up. I hate you.
The brightest spot is AJ Styles and John Cena.
Yeah.
The way everything played out, the story they told, the way Cena left and never give up in the middle of the ring, it really feels like it's the passing of the torch, that the era that we had lived in for so long, Josh, is coming to a close.
Yeah. Yawning.
What's your five?
Number one is Connor and Nate.
Yeah.
It was just the best UFC fight, one of the best combat sports, better than almost any wrestling match I've ever seen. The atmosphere was electric. The Twitterverse was electric. The energy was electric. Everything afterwards. Like I said, I haven't paid for any UFC other than Brock, and I wanted to pay. I'm like, I'll give you my money now for number three. And if, you know, Joel, that MSG card, if it is what we're thinking it is with these guys for the rematch, the return of Ronda, the return of GSP, and Anthony Johnson versus Daniel Cormier, they have a chance to hit the 2 million mark, 3 million, 4 million, 5. They have a chance to outdo Pacquiao Mayweather as far as buy rate. That's the card in Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
The other number two is AJ and Cena. Just just everything you wanted. This is the dream match you and I have wanted from the moment these two met in the ring. It took priority over the NBA game at the time, which I think was game 7 of Thunder and Warriors for me. So that's how big of a deal that was. That's a dream scenario. And there's very little of those left for Cena. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the last big one is him and Samoa Joe. That's the next really big moment, right? Yeah. And Nakamura as well. Yeah. Like, Bobby Roode and him meeting Ross Nares are cool, but they're not the same level as Joe because they train together. Yeah. And Nakamura is one of the, you know, unless it was Tanahashi, but Nakamura is one of the faces of New Japan Wrestling against John Cena.
Yeah.
And I think that can match just charisma wise is a lot of fun. But this match, like I said, it had us rooting like it was a sporting event, rooting for AJ like he was the home team, and just being so happy that he got the clean win, and just being so happy for a guy that has worked his ass off. Got shit on in TNA when he didn't deserve it, went to New Japan, redeemed himself, became the best wrestler in the world, came here, faced the number one guy in pro wrestling for over a decade and beat him clean, and then have Cena walk away and have the escalation of that Cena story. It was beautifully done. Number three for me was the women. What a great match. Both of them, really. Asuka and Bayley told a great story in the ring. Great send-off for Bayley. That was absolutely beautiful. She deserved it. One of the best women's wrestlers today. And the match that Charlotte and Sasha had, so that's a tie for number three. Those two killed it once again. They just don't have bad matches. It was a brutal match. And it kind of goes back to what the Divas Evolution show was about, that, you know, let them wrestle. Like the boys, let them wrestle like they're equals, and they'll put in a good match. The women, Joel, the six-man wasn't great, but... you let these women go on and wrestle like the boys, they'll have better matches than them almost 80% of the time, and that's what they've been doing. They've been out wrestling the boys on the show. And when it's led by Sasha Banks, number four was that GTS. It was a signal that they're finally ready to move past CM Punk, mm-hmm. which is, you know, like a month to him fighting for the UFC. And it was a really great moment. The crowd went crazy, and it set up a great feud between Austin Aries and Hideo Itami, and I thought that was really great. And number five for me was the Glory Bomb. And seeing a guy that I had loved in TNA, that I had seen with Scott D'Amore, a great Canadian booker who had loved to see WWE, and I think they could use him. And seeing him with Team Canada, and seeing him with Tracy Brooks, seeing him in Fortune, seeing him win the title and then lose it. And, you know, they built this one time up, this great feud for Bound for Glory with him and Kurt Angle, and he lost. It was one of the few times I bought a TNA pay-per-view because they built it up so good and what Bobby Roode's story was. And he went back and forth in TNA and had some up and downs, and he has one entrance in WWE for his first match, and the guy was over like $1 million. Could have gone to the main roster and looked great. And just the arena singing it and everything was just one of the more so unforgettable moments of this year. It was amazing. And then honorable mention to everything else. Dalton Castle, great. Adam Cole winning, great. And Kushida winning Super J. And that Bucks and Motor Machete, all great. So there is positives this week.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're going to wrap it up. It was a hell of a week. There's ups, there's downs. And, you know, it just kind of seems like one of those nights we've had after a bad Royal Rumble, a bad WrestleMania, and then Raw comes out and we're all done and we're all gone. And then they have one of the best shows of the year. And, you know, it's going to happen tomorrow. Bayley's probably going to show up and something else awesome is going to happen. And we're like, oh, yeah, I'm back on board.
Yeah.
And Joe's going to hang up on SmackDown and we're going to all be happy.
Usually how it goes is, you're absolutely right. I don't disagree with you, and it's kind of neat seeing that we have two, five different things, more or less, that we both stood out to us.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are valid and absolutely right and important and matters to us, and it's really cool to see that it's not the same. And Monday Night Raw is going to be another deciding factor. The one thing is, cancel WWE Network. Or whatever hashtags you're going to come up with just aren't going to matter.
No, because if you do that, you're not going to watch the CWC. You're not going to watch NXT.
Yeah.
No, you're going to watch those shows. So shut up.
Yeah. There we go. We made it through, buddy.
We did. All right. Everyone, thank you for coming. We promise to be more positive.
Power positivity.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We CWC this week, you know, Zack Sabre is going to be on it, and Johnny Gargano versus TJ Perkins. Wow, that's going to be exciting. And again, I think we're going to see the entrance of Bayley this week as well, so that's going to be fun as well. And now the countdown to Backlash begins, Joel.
Woo!
20 days until Backlash. Until next time, cheers.
Are you sure you don't want to do another half-hour review on Holy Foley?
We haven't even seen it yet.
We can watch it live.
We can't watch it live. We're going to bed.
Yeah, we are.
Enjoy the day, people.